to China, please beef up your currency.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. President Obama this week is rolling out new proposals to help revive the economy and create some jobs. But his top economic advisor, Larry Summers, is in Beijing, and Summers is trying to encourage China to strengthen the yuan, its currency. But will that do anything to help the U.S. economy? Here's Marketplace's China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz.
Between 2005 and 2008, China increased the value of its currency more than 20% against the dollar. There was hardly any impact on the U.S. economy. So why is Larry Summers in Beijing to try and convince the Chinese to appreciate its currency further?
Is completely unimportant to the economic future of the United States or the rest of the world.
China economist Andy Rothman says Summers' China trip is a sign the Obama administration is caving into pressure from Congress. Democrats are trying to pass legislation that would pressure China to appreciate its currency. Lawmakers and other economists say a more valuable yuan would revive U.S. manufacturing. Economist Rothman doesn't buy it.
The best that the Chinese government can do for the global recovery is to keep doing what they've been doing, winding down the huge stimulus that has worked and keep GDP growth on track for roughly 8 or 9% growth next year. That'll be a big help to everybody.
Rothman says more Chinese consumers mean more U.S. exports, and that's already happening. In the first 6 months of this year, U.S. exports to China increased 36%. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz. For Marketplace.
The British bank Barclays has announced its next CEO, but Bob Diamond already seemingly has a couple of strikes against him going in. One thing, he's an American. And number two, he's head of the company's investment banking arm. A job announcement could be controversial on both sides of the Atlantic, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard tells us. He's live with us now from London to talk about the appointment. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
All right, so let's handle the criticism one by one. If he's an American, why is he getting flack from the U.S.?
Well, he's controversial in some quarters in the U.S. for, as it was said at the time, swooping like a vulture, picking up some of the remnants of Lehman Brothers after the crash for a song. And it was claimed he unfairly deprived Lehman shareholders of billions of dollars worth of assets.
And let's go to the other side of the Atlantic, Stephen. What's his problem over in London?
Well, here he's widely seen as the epitome of what went wrong on Wall Street and in London during the boom years. He is an investment banker to his fingertips. He built up Barclays' investment wing from scratch, made himself immensely wealthy in the process. And although Barclays survived the bust, Diamond is associated with that so-called casino capitalism, you know, which has been portrayed as greedy, only concerned with a fast buck, not with providing finance for real businesses.
Yeah, greed is good. Okay, but why did he get the job then? I mean, he must be doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Well, Barclays shareholders have every reason to be happy with Diamond. His division provided 90% of Barclays' profits last year. And Michael Prest, an independent commentator here, says some of those other investment banking titans on Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, who've been treated rather as pariahs of late, will also be happy about Diamond's promotion.
They'll see Bob Diamond's appointment as a sign that business will be going back to usual, or at least that many of the criticisms which have been leveled against them have been exaggerated or even completely unjustified.
Diamond is scheduled to take over the top job at Barclays next March.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting this morning from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Barclays shares are off about 3.5% in London trading so far today. Stocks all over Europe, as a matter of fact, are down after a Wall Street Journal report on worries over bank health in Europe. Asian shares closed mixed today. No trading on Wall Street because of the holiday yesterday, but stocks did gain some ground last week. The Dow ended Friday at 10,447, up for the five-day period by just under 3%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
We thought we'd test our knowledge of international affairs once again, as we do every so often, and we're glad to bring in Stefan Richter with this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Ready for today's quiz?
I am.
of the 535 members of the U.S. Congress, what's the share of millionaires? Is it A, less than 10%, B, close to half of all the members of Congress, or C, even two-thirds of the members of Congress?
Well, I know they call the Senate the Millionaires Club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's 100 of them right there. I would say somewhere half.
Half is a brilliant answer.
Ah.
But since you talked about the Senate, you should have gone for two-thirds are actually millionaires.
So, Stefan, I'm curious about how much, you know, what's the comparison between how much the lawmakers make and the rest of us make in this country?
The median U.S. family has a net worth of about $120,000. For the average member of the U.S. House of Representatives, it's $666,000. Mm. So that goes to show that in terms of the representativeness of the U.S. Congress, there's a lot of rich people there and very few average folks.
Well, I'm headed to Washington then. That's where the money is, Stefan.
That is probably truer than we all wish for.
And thanks for providing us with that insight, Stefan.
It was my pleasure, dollar for dollar.
Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. To learn more about the global economy, politics, and culture, visit theglobalist.com. And finally, the European low-cost carrier Ryanair is at it again. The notoriously cheap and attention-loving airline recently proposed selling tickets for standing-room-only passengers and offering a coin-operated lavatory on board. But Ryanair's CEO Michael O'Leary says he can offer even lower fares by getting rid of the plane's co-pilot. O'Leary told Bloomberg Businessweek, if something happens to the captain, quote, let the bloody computer fly it, end quote. Or a specially trained flight attendant can take control, as long as they still have those on board. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.